This is a HeadGum Original.
My favorite position is GEO.
This has never been done before in HeadGum podcast history. Welcome to the Oops All Jeff episode. And please welcome to the show, Jeffrey James. I'm your host, obviously, Jeffrey James. It's been 4 years since we've taken a real hard, honest look at this show. You know, it's I want to say many victories.
Mm-hmm.
It's infrequent gaffes and everything award worthy, yet for some reason never award winning in between to me. Last week on the show we had Zach Dunn. Obviously, Ali Khan returning, Will Conover there for some reason, and Amir had to sort of bow, not wow, but out. Mm-hmm. And on that episode, it was suggested that I don't know what I want to get out of my guests, and nothing could be further from the truth. So that's why I'm here, along with me, myself, and I, to demonstrate what it really means to have overlapping dialogue.
I think the show is going perfect.
Thank you. Yeah.
I mean, I agree.
So. Yeah. I want you guys, me, to demonstrate for those guests who don't always quite bring it, and I don't want to name names, but I will say Amir, what this show should be. Because I have this vision in my mind's eye. I have this idea that I'm hell-bent on pushing through. It's not that I have an agenda that I'm not willing to part with on any episode. I'm obviously entering the studio, even if it's H, in kind, in good faith, to try and create joy and aspire to wisdom. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, we've had a lot of guests on this audit series. Again, we've had Zach Dunn last week. We had Melanie Bracewell the week before. And they didn't quite live up to my expectations. Is that fair to say? And, you know, I feel like that's my biggest note for the show, because since its inception, but definitely as of late, the guests haven't been quite bringing it. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like Amir comes on and he's like halfway to a nap anyways. It feels like he's falling asleep on the show, and I don't appreciate it. I don't come in here tired. I might come in, you know, mentally threadbare, but not tired.
I get that, right?
And tired is the worst thing a person can be. That's exactly right, yeah. So that's Amir. Ali comes on. She sort of has this weird attitude about her that makes it so she doesn't like when I snap at her.
Okay.
Which I feel like is weird. Like, if you were, like, snap at me. I'm fine with that. Partially, it's because it's me, and I know that I feel good about me, and I'm not trying to, like, be rude to me. But I feel like she and I are close enough that she should know that as well. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just trying to get her attention and for her to pay attention a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Anya, you know, she moved up to the Hudson Valley as if that somehow would help the show. Joel shows up like he's dressed to go to the first day of sixth grade every year. Thank you. And Jake never even shows up. And Micah, to my eye, is the same person as Jake, so they both don't show up. I thought it could be good, like I said, to demonstrate what this show should be, and who better to do that but me. So, again, if you guys have any, you know, positive feedback or even negative, just say, stop! This is the audit, so we're just going to say, stop! And then you can give the note, make sure that I sort of know what you're trying to get to. And then you'll just say podcast proceed when we're ready to go back to the show. All right.
Stop.
Oh,
right. I think everything thus far has been incredible. I think it's been almost scripted in how comedically tight it is and how great your hosting skills are. I mean,
go for it.
You're more talented than Marin, Stavi, Gianmarco, Brittany Broski, Caleb Heron combined.
Wow. Thanks. Yeah, no, I do put a lot of work and energy into the outline, so much appreciated. I would say that's the bare minimum. In some ways, that's almost, it sounded positive, but it almost is neutral because the truth is even more joyful than that.
I think everything's been perfect so far. Podcast proceed.
All right, bringing us into our first segment. Is the video recording?
And is the video recording?
It is.
Nice.
Yes.
Hey, you're killing it.
Moving on. So we got to take it into Bond of the Week. Bond of the Week. Now, this segment got a little bit of flack last week from Zach Dunn and others. They eventually came around, but... again, you know, I just feel like this, I'm willing to change the show going forward. That's why we're doing the audit. And I do need to constantly remind myself that because I feel like the show is going really well. The only problem is, again, the guests. So this week, my Bond of the Week, we're just going to power through until Amazon, I'm sorry, but chooses the next Bond. Because again, if we stop now, they win. And also the segment was worse than it could be at some, like the day they choose the next James is going to be podcast history.
Can't argue with that.
That's why my Bond of the Week is Natalie Portman, because it's time for a James Swan.
That's funny.
Do you guys have any Bonds of the Week?
My Bond of the Week is John R. Mohler. He's the CEO of Procter & Gamble, which obviously owns Dawn dish soap.
So,
okay. And what does that mean to you?
Well, because it's time for a James Dawn.
Nice.
That's pretty good.
James Dawn. Okay, very good. Jeffrey?
My Bond of the Week is H. David Dahlquist. He's the inventor of the Bundt mold, which obviously gave rise to the Bundt cake, because it's time for a James Bundt. Bundt.
That's really good. I love that. You know, I was just at a wedding over the weekend, and they had Bundtinis, which is like, I guess, like a mini Bundt cake, and... which I guess is, they're trying to say Bundt minis, but it really just sounds like a Bundt martini, and it's a baked good. So they were great. I just do take issue with the name. So, Jeff, what do you got?
My Bond of the Week is Bernie Madoff, because it's time for a Bondy Madoff. It's time for a James Cond.
That's really good.
You know, I do feel like I said that once.
I didn't know that.
No, it's okay. So. It's okay. But I definitely said that once. It's okay to repeat yourself if you are on an alternate timeline of my own life, which you might be, because I don't know how this is happening right now.
I love it. So.
The word of the day is Moldorkeeves.
Meaning?
Sorry, Moldorkeeves?
I said Moldorkeeves.
What does that mean?
So it's a series of islands home to nerdy, nerdy men who all have fungal infections.
Uh-huh.
Right? So, you know, to use it in a sentence, Amir Blumenfeld's on vacation? He must be going to the Moldorkeeves.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Moving on, guys. What do you think happens when all of us die, which will be in the same exact second?
I don't know what happens when we die, but I hope that there's a feast up there, like a suckling sow or something, in like a big hall where it's all at one table. Candlelit, you know, from the chandeliers and all that kind of thing, like a scene out of Harry Potter or Game of Thrones. That's what I imagine heaven to be, is a massive feast where... you never get too hungry. You're never that, you know, you're never too drunk. You're just having the right dinner. It's a kind of perpetual dinner with your closest friends and family.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think I'm open to anything happening after we die. I like to think about there being something after, but if not, my life's been pretty great so far. You know, I get to work with great people and, you know, I mean, even right now, I'm in great company. So, nah, I don't really care.
I honestly don't know what happens when we die. I don't think that there's a hell. The question is just, is there a heaven in my mind, right? And I don't know. I don't claim to know. I'm here to live while I'm here. What is it? Live free, die hard? Live free, die hard. Maybe, well, you know, maybe die soft.
Mm.
But definitely live free.
I don't know what happens when we die. I think maybe we all join some sort of unified force that's just the feeling of love.
Okay.
But also it could be nothing. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right, taking it into Jeff Takes the Reins. 4 minutes on the board here. Jeff, why don't you take it away? No one else is allowed to talk, and this will be uninterrupted.
Wow, okay. by the way, love the ticking clock. recently, I've been reconnecting with things from my, like, childhood, right? I drove the other day. I'm loving this ticking clock. I drove the other day down the freeway and was blasting All American Rejects. Windows down, gives you hell, swing, swing.
And I think that's a great idea.
No, you guys aren't allowed to talk.
Okay.
It's Jeff Takes the Reins.
All right. Sorry. No one needs an SSRI when they have, you know, title. No, I like that idea. You know, I think that's something I might try. I mean, we've tried it already, but I might try that a lot. So. Just blast All American Rejects. If you're born around the time I was born, 1996, 1997, 1995, 1998 time, like whatever, Zoomers, what is it? Not Zoomers, Zillennials. Just do that. You'll feel freer than you ever have in the past couple years. Did that, started eating Ritz Bits, and yep, he's leaving the room. I don't understand why, but I'm sure he has a good reason, so I'm going to be happy about it. started eating Ritz Bits again, which is just like any snack you maybe had at recess or like right after school growing up is another form of, I'm sorry to say, but Prozac, and highly recommend it. There he is with Ritz Bits. I really hope this is working for the taking the reins.
What?
I'm not mad. I'm just saying.
You were talking about Ritz Bits. We have them in the office. I wanted to go get some. Sorry, okay. I don't want to be to...
I love that.
It's Jeff Takes the Reins, but you know what? That means I can also talk. I'm pissed.
I love that.
You talk uninterrupted. Why do I need to be in here? Continue.
What else have I been doing to sort of reconnect with things that I loved when I was a kid? Watching shows, you know, it's fall. Obviously, every fall is worth a Gilmore Girls rewatch. I used to watch that one with my mom and my sister growing up. Mm. If you live in a place like Los Angeles that doesn't have much of a shift in climate or any seasons, watching Gilmore Girls is as good as, you know, watching the leaves fall in the autumn. And God, I'm only halfway through. I'm loving this. As a guest who's being put in a position to take the reins, I think it's awesome, and I think there's nothing wrong with it whatsoever. The ticking clock is perfect, and I think I'm executing this absolutely perfectly, and I prepared nothing for this. So that's what happens when people are on the show and they're given the reins to take. And, you know, they, around minute two, they start to fizzle out. They start to, like, stare at me, you know, being like, what am I supposed to do now? Like, I don't have anything more to say. Like, if you don't have anything else to say, shit or get off the pot. Like, don't be on the show. Like, I don't want to be an asshole, but I'm just saying, like, if you can't fill time for 4 minutes straight with a ticking clock in your ear, I don't know if you should be guesting on a podcast. Is that fair to say? What else have I been thinking about recently? I guess I've been thinking about the idea of necessaryism, which is like, not minimalism, because no one actually, I'm sorry, wants minimalism. Things bring people joy, and I think that's a good thing. I think that's fine. But necessaryism is more the Marie Kondo method of just like, does it spark joy? And only owning things that bring you joy that would be deemed necessary. And maybe even, you know, you trim the fat, but also cut into the lean. Maybe even get rid of some stuff that does bring you joy, but it overlaps with other things that bring you joy. That's kind of what I'm thinking. I haven't quite done this. I do have a lot of junk and garbage in my garage and closet. But I am trying to do a full sweep of the house, trying to get rid of shit that I don't actually need. See, that was really good.
That is how you take the reins, guys. Christ!
I thought that was awesome.
That was incredible.
I think that was a good, you know, take the reins.
You did let it throw you off that I left the room. Didn't quite appreciate that. Okay, what?
You know.
I'm not trying to be upset, all right? When I hurt you, I hurt me. I get that. It would have been an absolute 10 out of 10 Jeff takes the reins if he hadn't let it distract him that I left the room, all right? It was a 9 out of 10, though. Very good.
Yeah.
EA Sports. It's in the game.
Guys, I'm trying to write a classic American novel.
Gotta come up with one every week.
Right. So this week, the novel that I wanted to pitch you guys. So basically, I've been pitching titles, and whichever one, you know, sparks the most joy is the one that I'll then write. And this week, I'm pitching The Jodeci. So it's an epic joem that follows Jeff, a multiracial hero, as he struggles to return to Studio H after becoming so accustomed to Studio G. But by the time he enters Studio H, he's in disguise as a test of people's fealty and loyalty to him, specifically his wife. And when he gets there in disguise, he finds out that his wife actually didn't fend off any suitors, but rather she took them in droves. Yeah, so it's about a guy getting sort of cuckolded because he had to start recording his podcast out of a different room.
So, sorry, your new novel is about you / us being cucked?
Yeah, I was also confused about that. I don't really want there to be a novel about that.
In a way, it's about us, but it's not, you know, based on real things. The Odyssey wasn't, right?
I mean, sure.
Welcome to Hot Disease or Nah. Now, we've all seen the memes of like hot girls with IBS, right? Where it's like hot people will have kind of gross diseases. And then because enough hot people have it, it actually becomes in vogue to have that disorder, right? So I'm going to list off a couple medical ailments, and you guys tell me whether it's a hot disease or nah. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What about heterozygous familial hypercholesterolemia? That's when your LDL levels are chronically above 190.
Love that.
Correct! Yes, and I know we are all biased because we all have that, but I'm going to go ahead and say that, you know, that's no one's fault that you have heterozygous, you know, familial hypercholesterolemia. Ours are 233 the last time we checked. That's fine. I think we're attractive enough.
That's funny.
Oh, yeah.
Guys, what about persistent post-concussive symptoms? Hot disease or nah? Correct! Again, we might be biased, but when you've hit your head once or nine times, when you continue to have this feeling that your consciousness is just slightly off for almost 2 years straight, I don't think that that precludes you from being hung, from being not the hero of the Jodeci, but rather the alpha in that room. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Very good. See, this is what I'm talking about. Stop. I'm going to stop. Stop. This is what I'm looking for, is people being on the same page about shit, overlapping dialogue, enjoying the shit that I've outlined. Because I put a ton of work into this shit. Podcast proceed. High blood pressure. That's going to go ahead and not be hot. It's not hot to have, what is it called? It's not tachycardia, that's heart rate, but high blood pressure. I'm going to get a numbers crunch on this. Talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah, we could do that.
I don't know. I mean, sometimes it's like the hypertension. The internal argument of like, oh.
You don't want to have hypertension.
I should have worn different shoes. Today's a day like that. Like, over the summer, I wore these boots a lot.
There's nothing sexy about
it. You know, I'd wear them to events or whatever.
like I wore them to see an outdoor movie the other day, and then I was like, oh shit, this is a lot of walking.
It's not like high cholesterol.
I'm trying to take these to a cobbler and be like, hey, can you put like a Vibram in the sole into this shit? It's hard. I mean, there was that article that came out that like you only actually need 7,000 steps to get all the benefits, like cardiovascularly, cognitively, mental health wise.
Before the time you retire,
you know, maybe that's the goal: is 7,000 steps.
You can have two marriages, and no one will judge you because you'll be a widow. Moving on. Gout.
Mm.
Shout. Gout. Get gout out. Because that's not a sexy disorder, guys. You don't want calcified plaque around your joints. I don't know what gout is, right? Is it that or am I wrong? If I don't know, none of us know. That's a good point. That's not going to be sexy because you need your joints to move fluidly when you're doing the deed. Moving on. GERD.
What is that?
That's gastrointestinal acid reflux or some shit. I don't fucking remember. It is gonna be sexy as hell. All right. And again, I'm not biased, but we all did have that when we were a kid. And tell them what happened.
That is true. Yeah, we almost died. I almost died. We all almost died in a minivan because we had acid reflux as a kid and choked on that a lot and almost passed away at the age of 2. I actually think that happened multiple times. So I think that's a sexy disease.
Exactly right. So the fact that we persevered past that near-death experience means that we, you know... I don't know what it means other than the fact that we're good in bed. Is that fair to say?
Right? Yeah.
What about eczema? Sexy as hell. Sexy! Might as well call it sexzema, all right? All of us have eczema. We just got diagnosed with it a week and a half ago. Haven't started using the ointment. I'll take not using the prescription medication cream for 200, Alex. What is us? Moving on.
And I do really love the length of that song. That's what I was going to say. Yeah, I actually really love the length of the song.
Thank you.
It's perfect for the show. The show's perfect. So
thank you for saying that. You know, you're the first person to say that. I put a ton of work into the soundboard, by the way. It's nice to get a compliment every now and again. Appreciate that.
My favorite position is GEO.
Guys, bringing us into our third and final segment.
Playing only the best music in the world. This is
Jalilah. Welcome back to another edition of beloved advice call-in radio talk show hosts show, Jalilah. Now, I'm going to go down the line, and you guys are going to tell me something extremely personal that you're dealing with, and Jalilah will see what she can do to help. Okay? Let's start with Jeff.
Thank you so much, Jalilah. Yeah, I have been prescribed 75 milligrams Praluent. It's a PCSK9 inhibitor, and I need to start sticking myself in the thigh, in the ass, and in the stomach, so not too happy about that.
Well, you know, heterozygous familial hypercholesterolemia is not a small deal. And unless you want to have a heart attack and or stroke, who says you can't have both at the same time, kind of like when you sneeze and fart at the same time, I think you're gonna take the jabs just fine, even in the stomach, as long as it keeps you alive, healthy, wealthy, brown, and hard.
Yeah, no, I'll do it. The show's perfect.
Moving on. Let's move on to Jeffrey. What's ailing you, sir?
You know, I think I
find it hard to cook for myself sometimes, Jalila. You know, it's even with the job that we have that is, you know, as hard as it is easy. I sometimes just want to, you know, DoorDash. I just want to put it on the credit card. You know, I'll figure it out later and just get a sweet treat, get a burger and some fries after a hard day. You know, it's something that is, as we get older, you know, I got to take a look at and figure out a way to kind of be healthier, use, you know, cook at home, save money, that kind of thing. It's just, I find it difficult sometimes.
Jalila definitely feels you on this. Sometimes food can be boring. It is hard also to be reminded that not every meal can be a treat, no matter how stressed you are, no matter how little time you have and how tempting it is to spend too much money all on your credit card accruing debt, to order, let's say, cake for dessert, ice cream every night. That's not good for the aforementioned hypercholesterolemia, and it doesn't leave your body feeling very good, does it? Nor does it contribute to you not having high blood pressure, which, as has been previously established in this episode, is not a very sexy medical ailment, is it? No. So Jalila thinks that you need to suck it up and go to Vroman's bookstore in Pasadena and buy, shout out Vroman's, and buy one or two cookbooks that you're excited about that you actually will use for recipes.
Wow. Asshole. Jalila's an asshole, but that's okay. It's a perfect segment, so.
Playing only the best music in the world. This is Jalila.
Taking it over to our last caller, Jeffrey, what's been ailing you, sir?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm just feeling sad about earnestly the state of the entertainment industry and the global economy at large. A lot of friends of mine losing their jobs, a lot of talented people in my life not getting the opportunities that, frankly, they've worked hard enough to deserve.
Uh-huh.
And it's just a bummer. Like, I feel like if everyone in my community, with as talented as they are, had started in like 2003, I feel like they'd all be like B-list at least actors on sitcoms and all that. And yeah, I mean, what would Jalila say to that?
Now this one is a toughie. Jalila doesn't have the answers for you, sir, but Jalila appreciates you getting earnest. I know it's not a comfortable thing for everyone to do, but Jalila's advice for anyone pursuing anything in entertainment, art, creativity, or really anything where they're betting on themselves. Don't give up. If you do, you definitely fail then and there. If you don't give up and keep going, maybe you'll be successful one day.
That's really nice. I agree.
Playing only the best music in the world. This is Jalila
takes it back. Give up. The shit is way too hard. Maybe just become a creative consultant because you can get a lot of money for that. And you can paint on the weekends or not.
Okay.
This has been...
Playing only the
so, we learned
music
nothing.
In the world. This is
Jalila.
Sorry, there's a little piece of, like, pita bread on the floor or something. I don't know what that's from, but we're all just going to ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Guys, what have we learned today from this Oops All Jeff episode? Let's just try to get, you know, one or two things that I can maybe take forward with me to improve upon, and maybe 7 to 10 things that I did really well about.
I mean, takeaways for the... I would say we all got along almost too well. You know, and I didn't know, there was no way we all could have known how this would have gone. I get that we were overlapping the dialogue, but sometimes when the guests are frankly garbage, I think the show maybe does a little better. So yeah, I mean, I don't want to give Amir credit. Definitely don't want to give Marika credit. I just feel like, you know, it can't be the four of us every week.
Mm.
First of all,
It's cutting together poorly, probably. Second of all, we agree on everything. So there isn't that friction, that tension that the comedy comes from.
Okay, I see what you're saying. You're saying that the animosity towards me is what makes this show so very beautiful.
W.
That's a good note. That's actually the first negative note that I can take with a smile on my face. I can take that with a smile on my face. I really can. Moving on, Jeff?
I mean, I would say that, you know, a lot of people dress for the job they want, but you dress for the job you have. So I think you're in the driver's seat in terms of joy. The show's perfect.
Oh, you're right. I do give this my all. I do dress accordingly to the, you know, to the occasion. Yeah. I have the show's best interests at heart. I know what it should be. I know what it's been. I know where it's come from. I know where it goes. And even when the guests don't perform up to my expectations of them, the show can still flourish. And I agree with you guys there. So I'm starting to feel energized. I feel like last week was a disaster. I feel like the week before that was even worse.
Mm-hmm.
But this might be the turning point in the audit series. I might start to show up again with a big smile on my face. All right? And maybe this was just the thing that I needed to renew my faith in the institution that is the HeadGum Podcast. To know that I am in the driver's seat even when people try to throw a spike strip in front of me. That I am the HeadGum Podcast. Wow. Wow. Plugs, what do you guys have going on? What do you want to point the people towards? Let's start with Jeff.
At Jeffrey James on Instagram, doing social media sketches over there every week or so, and having a lot of fun.
And similar vein, at I am Jeffrey James on TikTok, posting the same social media sketches that Jeff just mentioned over there as well.
And I would say October 29th, my UCB team, I'm on a UCB mod wildcard team called One Man's Trash, has a show. I think it's 8:30 on October 29th, but it's on the schedule, I think, and if not, it will be soon, at UCB Franklin in Los Angeles. So if you live in LA, want to see some sketch comedy, I'm writing a little bit and performing with that that team. So it should be a really fun show. Some Halloween themes in there. Would love to see some HeadGum fans at the theater. Definitely come to that show.
And I will say, guys, comment down below who you would like to see on this audit series. All right. I already have some guests planned and in mind, but, you know, my estimations were probably about either at halfway or just about halfway. So we still have a lot more weeks to go, you know, for the audit, and a lot more lessons to be learned, whether it's for me, kind of doubt that, or whether it's for the guests, which again, I do kind of think is maybe more so who's being audited this time around. We're learning a lot. And if not, we'll see you guys again next week, patreon.com/headgum. Tell your friends, tell any other HeadGum fans or Jake and Amir fans or HeadGum Podcast fans who haven't subscribed that you know how much fun we're having over here and that we're doing some fun stuff, such as the Oops All Jeff episode. Yeah, so.
Hey.
What's that?
That's Dawes, folks.
That's Dawes, folks.
Grace, I feel like a fucking crazy person.
That was a HeadGum original.